Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, Apex Church. Good morning, our family online. It is so good to be with you on this Sunday. I truly believe that God has put a word in my heart and my spirit. I think it's actually more than a word. As I've been praying, I really sense this is prophetic for someone listening to my voice. I believe that in this season you find yourself in, that this is going to be a season of favor. It's my joy to continue our sermon series, Fan the Flame. And Pastor Daniel started that last week. If you didn't hear that, see that, please check that out. But I want to speak this morning on this thought of fanning the flame of expectation, of anticipation, of faith, that something within us begins to get stirred up again. That we don't look at life and look at circumstance or perhaps the bad news that you've heard this week and you think, oh my goodness, this is it. But there's something within you rises to the fore. I'm going to call that faith. That you look beyond what you're going through, what you're experiencing, what you've been told, and you are believing that God is going to take you from perhaps a season of challenge of health, some negativity, into his season of favor and blessing. The blessing of the Lord is what I believe rests upon our life. The scripture I want to read to you today is actually taken from the story of one, the royal of his day. And of course, let me add, like you, my condolences and prayers for our royal family. We are so grateful for the life of the Queen Elizabeth that has passed and all that she meant and all that she has done and our strong faith that she testified to on so many occasions. And we pray for the royal family. We pray for our new king, that he too would respond like his mother to the voice of God as he asks and desires our prayers. But 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13, we read these words. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth." "At your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. He always ate at the king's table, but he was lame in both feet. I want you to understand something this morning. Regardless of your current situation, whatever you are going through, no matter how difficult it is, you are still in God's radar. If you're a child of His, if you belong to Him, if you have declared that He is your Lord, He is your God, then He is concerned about your well-being. He has your best interests at hand. Whatever you're going through, I truly believe that in the midst of your challenge, that God can rearrange things so that what He has designed for us will come to pass, because I believe that all things truly do work together for good to those that love the Lord when we're called according to His purpose. Now, speaking to many people, I realize that many have just come to the conclusion that this is their reality. They've resigned to this is their position, that things are never going to change, that things are never going to be any different. But I truly believe that if we could begin to fan that flame of expectation and faith, that we could believe that what God has ordained for us, what God has purposed for us, what God has said is ours, will come to pass. And I know that when you truly believe that, you start to make preparation for it. You make preparation in your spirit for the season that God is going to bring you into. It's time to get ready. In fact, I believe that people are going to be scratching their heads and they're going to be looking at you. They're going to be amazed at the blessing and favor of God that rests on your life. Come on, someone say amen this morning. Now, to fully understand the blessing of God that rested upon Mephibosheth, you've got to understand his story, because his story is fascinating. Firstly, we discover that Mephibosheth was lame. He was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul, who was the king. And at 5 years of age, word comes that Saul has died. Jonathan, his father, he also has died in war. And normally what would happen in those days, that the conquering army would destroy all the royal family that were around so that they could not come back and try and claim the throne. Mephibosheth's life was in danger. He had a nursemaid who wanted to save him and wanted to protect him. So in her haste, the nursemaid, she picks Mephibosheth up in her arms. And as she goes to take him to safety, sadly, she drops him, and the Bible says that he is lame in both of his feet. I believe that this was totally unintentional. In fact, we see that it was an act, a labor of love. But someone dropped the child. Have you ever felt like that in life? Sometimes things have happened, circumstances you go through. In most cases, they're unintentional, but some, let's be true, sometimes things are intentional and things happen in our life, things that have affected us, things that have been said, and they cause us to have a lameness, maybe not a physical lameness, but within us, in our spirits, that we don't feel whole, we don't feel complete, we feel that we've been at the mercy of the actions of another. But I'm believing that the favor of God is going to help you to get past that pain that has been caused by other individuals. Let's be honest, even as Christians, we experience pain. We go through difficult things. We go through difficult circumstances. But we need to fan that flame, believing that God could deal with that pain. Not only was he lame, but he was in a place called Lodibar. Lodibar is interesting. It simply means a barren place, a place of no pasture, a place where he felt like an outcast. I believe that that was a place of disappointment. Have you ever felt like that? That due to life circumstances, due to the pain you've experienced, due to the pain that you're going through, that you find yourself in a place of disappointment, a place that there is no fruitfulness, a place where there is no growth, a place, I guess, where you just feel that you're surviving. This is what Mephibosheth would have found. He's in Lodibar. But the king finds out where he is and he sends for him. By the way, geography is no difficulty to God. God knows exactly where you are and exactly what you're going through, and he knows exactly where to find you, whether you're in a mountaintop or a valley, Whether you're going through a good season or a bad season, whatever your address is, my friend, you can't hide from God. And I believe that the favor of God is going to find you. And wherever you are in life, let there be a shift in your spirit right now, because this is not the end of your story. I believe it's the season of the unexpected, the season of blessing, the season of favor, that we are on the verge of something that God is about to do, that God is going to take you through those circumstances, through that valley, through that difficulty, through that challenge, and fan that faith in your spirit right now. If God did it for Mephibosheth, yes, my friend, God can do it for you. And lameness almost suggests that he could not move at the pace of perhaps others could move. He wasn't at fast or swift of foot. And maybe you're frustrated right now because you feel that in life you would have been further ahead. You think that the season you're in, God, why do I find myself here? God, I thought we would have got past that struggle. God, I thought we would have been over that challenge. God, I thought all my family would have responded to you by now. Father, I thought the prodigal would have been home by now. God, I thought we would have got past that financial challenge by now. Maybe you sense a lameness in your spirit and you feel like you're at Lodibar and you're restricted in your pace, but the favor of God and the blessing of God in a second can take you from where you are to where you need to be. And then there's also a sense that not only was he lame, not only in Lodibar, but a sense that he was lost. Now, let me clarify this. Being lost would almost imply that he didn't know where he was. That's not what I mean in regard to geography. But he had lost his identity. This is not an issue of geography. This is an issue of value and worth. You see, for Mephibosheth, he was royalty. He was the grandson of the king. He forgot now, because he's in Lodibar, he was living so below his position in life. Circumstances had forced him into a position that he should not have been in. Now, you've got to remember, Jonathan, that was his father. He was faithful to David. He supported David. He encouraged David. He saw the blessing of God, and he saw and recognized the anointing of God that was on David's life. Jonathan knew that baton that was going to be passed would probably go to David, because there was something different about young David. Even when Saul tried to persecute David, chase David, tried to have David killed, Jonathan was not like that. He supported him. He encouraged him. He provided for him. He wanted the best for his friend David. Now, Saul's kingdom is no longer. What once was is gone. It is no more. And David, now reflecting, thinking back on Saul and Jonathan, asks a great question, a wonderful question. He says these words, Is there anyone? Notice he doesn't say, is there anyone wise? Is there anyone good looking? Is there anyone educated? Is there anyone that's got their life all together? He says, is there anyone of that household? Is there anyone of that family that I may show them kindness for Jonathan's sake? This was unconditional grace. This was blessing and favor that was not deserved. Is there anyone left for Jonathan's sake? Now, there was a servant in the royal household there named Ziba, and he says, sir, there is one, but he's lame and he's in Lodibar. There's the double L's again. He's in a place of despair. He's in a place of shame. He's in a place of rejection. He's in a place of barrenness. And King David says, listen to the favor and the blessing. King David says, get him here. You see, it wasn't about his pain and it wasn't about his position, but it was about a promise that David wanted to see fulfilled. Now when Mephibosheth heard that David had called for him, you imagine the fear that went through his heart. He thought, this is it. It's all over. I've managed to hide all these years in Lodibar, but now the king knows where I'm at. He's calling for me to come to the palace, and my life is going to be over. He did not realize that when he was being called by the king, it was not to bring more negativity and pain and sorrow to his circumstance. But King David wanted to pronounce blessing on him and his family for the sake of Jonathan. You see, the king had made a promise. I love the promises of God. I've been thinking a lot about this. The Bible says the promises of God are yea and amen. The Bible says he'll restore the years the locust has devoured. His promise says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is set on me. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist says. I shall not want. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. They are the promises of God. My friend, this morning, you need to get your spirit aligned with the word of God. You need to fan the flame of the promise of God and the expectation that God, what you said in your word over me is going to come to pass. Lord, you said it and I believe it. God, I am a recipient of the blessing and the favor of God. Circumstances may be dark, may be difficult, may be challenging, but what does the word of the Lord say? Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. And we need to stir our hearts and our spirits. Forgive me for getting excited. I'm thinking of some of the promises that God has spoken over my life. I think of the promises that I read in his word. And I tell you, when we let that get into our spirit, regardless of what circumstances are declaring over you, I believe the word of God. We need a word from him. That's why the devil doesn't want you in church. That's why the devil doesn't want you around faith-believing Christians. That's why the devil doesn't want you around people that stand on the word of God and believe by faith for greater things. That's why he wants you, you know, sheltered. Just stay at home. Don't get involved. Just touch everything lightly. No, my friend. Get around other believers who are going to stir up that faith within you. So what happens to Mephibosheth? He moves from Lodibar, and now he finds himself in Jerusalem with a promise. Mephibosheth is the seed of faithfulness. What is his source of blessing? He is going to be blessed. He is blessed because he is connected to Jonathan. He benefits from the faithfulness of his father. I believe that God is challenging all of us as well today. Do you know what? That there are future generations in us that I believe can receive the blessing of God because of the actions we take today. I truly believe that I am a recipient of the blessings of those that have gone before me. And David helps Mephibosheth realize his identity. He helps him understand, you are of the royal priesthood. The Bible says we're the head, not the tail. We're above, not beneath. You know, our identity in Christ is so important. Our circumstances cause us to get our head down and start to drag our feet. And we look around and we think, this is all there is. No, my friend. You belong to the kingdom of God. Your master, your savior, your Lord, Jesus Christ, still rules and reigns. And as part of the kingdom of God, I believe his desire is that for us to flourish. Does that mean there are no challenging times? No. Does that mean we don't go through dark days? No. But we're reminded that we are children of the king. My dad, when he passed away, I often would hear the words that he would speak to me. You know, when he was trying to really drill down and wanted to get my attention, he would say these words. Now listen, Neil Cameron. You know, I began to realize that he gave me my title Because before he began to say something, he clarified again and reminded me of what my identity, whom my identity, whom I belong to. My name was Neil Cameron. You're adopted into the family. But you are my son. Now listen to the words I have to say. We know that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and a voice from heaven came down and says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And I want you to realize that maybe you feel you're going through a season of lameness. Maybe you find yourself in a place called Lodibar. And maybe you feel that you've lost, there's a lostness has come into your world. I want to remind you that you are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his favor will rest upon you. For Jonathan's sake, we can be a blessing to future generations. We can be a blessing to our family. We can be a blessing to our church family. It was because of the kindness that David experienced through Jonathan that now Mephibosheth was a recipient of blessing and kindness. I wonder what we can pay forward. I wonder what God, how God can challenge us. You see, you maybe aren't a platform person. You're maybe a behind-the-scenes person, and you think that no one notices. But who can tell that what you're doing behind the scenes is preparing the way for someone that is coming behind you to step center forward? The blessing of God. The blessing of God. You know, I asked my mom a number of years ago, why was it that the family decided to adopt a child, adopt me into their family? If you know my mom's story, you know that she was raised in a broken home. Her and her sister were passed between her father and her mother on many occasions. And she had a lovely grandmother who raised her and opened up her home and cared for her and loved her greatly. And mom says to me, she says, "Neil, because of the love that my grandmother had and her uncle and aunt had for her and her sister, that she decided that if God ever allowed her, that she wanted to adopt a child and give a child a home." I am the recipient. I am walking in the blessing of belonging to a family because of a great-grandmother I never knew. Because of the kindness she showed to my mother and father opened a door that allowed me to come into the family and be a recipient of the blessing. My friend, I need you to understand, you can enter into a season of favor such as never before. We need to change our mindsets and remember that we belong to God. So whether you feel lameness in the place of Lodibar, or even lost in life or lost your way, you can find your place again in the kingdom of God. You're listening to my voice right now. You've never responded to Jesus. You've never asked Christ to come into your heart. I want to pray with you right now. I'm asking that the favor of God would rest upon you in this decision. That you would ask him to be Lord and Savior. That you would ask him to come, and just like David invited Mephibosheth, the invitation is to you this morning. Would you pray with me and ask Christ to come into your life? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner, but you are my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, to become my Lord, and to become my Master. Forgive me of my sins and wayward ways, and take control of my life. I give my heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen.